in progress.
UPP, over to you. I'm here from both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Now, PP, I was saying, I hope you took the hint from the Chair that when you go back, you must organize the Public Protector Awards.
Definitely.
And we know who the keynote speaker will be.
None other than the chairperson.
Thank you. All right. Now, just to round off that second issue then of the establishment of the unit, having dealt with the prescripts, the history, the other reports, the affidavits of Mr. Pillay, Mr. Kodan, Mr. Mahashula, and all that. You then come to your conclusions, which we find at, from 5.2.56, and I'd just like you to then just maybe without even reference directly or reading directly from your conclusions, to just tell us what why you say that then that allocation was sustained, as it were.
Yes, again, our conclusion, taking into consideration the complaint, the responses we've received from SARS, Mr. Kodan, Mr. Pillay, Mr. Mahashula, then we then came to the conclusion that the National Intelligence Structure, which is established in terms of NSI Act, and can only work with the law enforcement agencies. So it means that unit, good, it was there. And indeed, they should investigate. We want them to deal with the tax evaders, unlawful, illicit economic trade, which is affecting our country. But it should then operate within the law. And then we also say in 5.2.57, page 58, that SARS, under the guidance of Mr. Pillay,
General Manager. Did you get that? I don't see it.
Yeah.
Just repeat that, PP.
5.2.57 of the report, page 58.
Thank you.
Yes, they established this unit, which was without the involvement of NIA then.
Huh?
And 58 also, it shows that in the memorandum which Minister Kodan, as the commissioner, when he was writing to the minister, he said SARS had already began operating a unit that gathered information covertly. However, as the accounting officer, Mr. Kodan should have been aware, and I believe was aware, that the unit had already started operating. Mr. Pillay reported directly to Mr. Kodan as commissioner of SARS, because how that memorandum was crafted, it was showing that this unit had already started operating.
Mm.
So as the accounting officer, you should have been aware of that. So the establishment of the unit with the approval of Mr. Kodan as the then accounting officer was in breach of Section 209 of the Constitution, in terms of which only the president may establish such a covert information gathering unit. I think we've read Section 209 earlier.
Yes.
So then Mr. Mahashula misrepresented himself under oath, because he denied the existence of the intelligence unit. Even if the unit was never called a rogue unit as such, the operations and functions of CBCU, a unit that he was fully aware of existed, were similar. Hence, I said this unit was changing names over and over and over. And he just said he denied the knowledge of any unit which is doing this kind of work.
Oh.
I mean, being the general manager responsible for recruitment or corporate services, surely he should have been aware everything should be approved through him. That's what we call, as an organization, complying to the law, your policies. And I think if they are audited, the Auditor General, if they audit something like this, they will also come up with these findings and then advise them accordingly. So further, due to the sustained denial of the unit's existence, as well as the failure by Minister of State Security to provide my office with a copy of the declassified report on the investigation conducted by the then Inspector General of Intelligence, Advocate Faith Khatebe, on the affairs of the unit, I have requested the President's intervention in the matter. So also up there, we've mentioned the letter to the President, because in my effort trying to make sure that as public protector, I'm assisted, I have this evidence, and I use this evidence accordingly.
Your mic. Yes, thank you, Chair. No, fine. I think let's rather finish this. I just wanted to interpose something else, which might have relevance to CX and other issues, but let me rather do it once with, because we are at the end of this section, or the second pillar of the six pillars of Part A. All right, maybe let's round that off. So those were your conclusions in a nutshell. PP, and on the basis of that, therefore, you came to the conclusion that the allegation was sustained.
Yes, it was sustained, because if you check 5.2.62 as well.
62, yes.
The evidence obtained during the investigation indicates that state security report found, amongst other things, because we are mentioning that report again. Amongst other things, that SARS created a covert unit utilizing covert and intrusive methods in contravention of the SARS mandate.
Yes.
So this is also showing that I wouldn't say something like this if I don't have a copy of the report.
Yes.
And SARS had an interception and monitoring of communications capability, which went beyond targeting tax offenders, but also utilized for political purposes as per the documentary evidence in my possession. So this also, it's not just a thumbsuck. Political purposes, I have indicated that there were documents and videos which showed, besides the interviews or the recordings of the meeting of those recording of Elhart, which we're going to pay
Duval
and the
Lombard.
Yes. So where they were confirming that indeed this is what they did. They installed those cameras at DSO. Yeah. Yes, the intention was something different, but unfortunately it ended up having to go beyond the mandate of SARS, because
yes,
it was not relevant or related to SARS.
To tax, okay. Yes, now we'll deal with that when we deal with the operations lag.
Yes.
Okay. No, thank you, PP. Now, I just want to say, Chair, in rounding off this section, just to pose this question. You've taken us really through the journey of how you then got into your conclusions on this issue of the lawfulness and, or otherwise, of the establishment of the unit. Again, when we get to the judgment, you'll find that one of the, well, probably the most prominent criticisms is that you effectively embraced, let me put it that way, discredited, quote-unquote, reports on these questions, and put aside whether they were indeed discredited or not. But in your conclusions here, is there anywhere where you regurgitate or rely or adopt anybody else's findings, or were these findings from your own investigation?
I would want to say that mentioning these reports, we were showing that this investigation which was done by Skakane, done by KPMG, there was a legal opinion which was requested, and showing all the people who have investigated the matter. But then you will see that our focus was whether there was any violation of the legal prescript. So if that can just be understood, that was the only focus. Yes, we checked the information, we couldn't ignore it. And remember, in our investigations as the Ombudsman or Public Protector, we use such information as leads. Meaning, for instance, on own initiative investigation, we can hear the Mzimkulu, for instance, Hall issue, which was an own initiative investigation. Instead of taking it as is, or the Gupta leaks, for instance, we'll deal with it. But you use that, it's an information. It's not the gospel truth. It's not evidence. Then after these reports, then we will go to the source of, okay, Skakane interviewed the following. KPMG dealt with this, and they are saying the following. Okay, these are the laws which they referred to. This IGI report, indeed, they are the only institution which investigates intelligence-related issues. Because one misunderstanding which a lot of people I interacted with, your legal advisor, Kavenda, Minister of State Security, Ms. Duba, because that was a very close session with her. And she was also saying, no, but Public Protector, SARS is not an intelligence department. I'm saying that's the very purpose of the investigation conducted by Skakane, referred that part to you as IGI, and IGI is overseeing state security. So the main aim was just to check whether they operated within the law. Nothing more, nothing less. And in the report, there's several instances where I'm saying independently acquired evidence. So we use this as leads, and then we approach SARS. SARS, can you provide us with this? Okay, we also conduct our own independently acquired means of acquiring information. So this is why we came to the conclusion based on our own investigation, not just regurgitating or just taking whatever they are saying, but because of their findings and their conclusions, we are seeing that, but the information which we have, in fact, not information, evidence which we have, and what the law is saying, indeed, there is a violation of this law.
Yes. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll deal then with the third leg, and I think it will be quicker, Chair, because as I said, this probably of all the things you are investigating is the simplest, which is, as I say, the straightforward PFMA.
Exactly.
Whether something was procured properly or not. Anyone would know that in the public sector, really, you can literally pick out anything, whether it's a car or a computer, and the people who work there must be able to say, where did it come from, when did it come, and so on and so on. So Chair, I'd request that we break at this point so that if I start with the next leg. But if you agree, I wanted just to deal with that issue that I had flagged, which I said it doesn't really fit in.
Maybe you can just assist me as a chair of the committee, just as we conclude this in a minute or two.
Yes.
To indicate in summary, what evidence are you placing on this establishment?
On the establishment? Sorry, I don't understand the question, sir.
Having gone through
the history.
Yes, and in detail.
Yeah.
I'm asking you to PP to just summarize.
Okay, perfect. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, I understand now. I think we are the church just wants to know. We now know that you've gone through all the elements of whatever you went through, and you therefore say that allegation that the establishment was unlawful was established. So the chair now wants to summarize as to how you reached that conclusion on the number two pillar.
Okay, I think we dealt with the conclusions, page 58,
mm-hmm.
because that's where I'm saying, Chairperson, the fact that the unit was established and we've shown that what section 209 of the Constitution is very clear that it's only the state security, defense intelligence and SAPS intelligence. SAPS approached Minister of Finance to approve the establishment, but already they've already started doing that. And I'm saying, Chairperson, not stopping SARS to do its work, and I think we've shown you the observation which we had to deal with, that they needed to cooperate with state security agents. And hence, Mr. Pillay's response and Mr. Godin's response is also incorporated here, where they are indicating what is their view. So we've given them the OD in this particular issue, which is not true that we didn't allow them to respond. And secondly, the intention again for the committee, Chairperson, is that this investigation was conducted with an open mind as far as this issue is concerned. And we are showing that what the interception of evidence or interception of information, what it says about the operations of this particular unit. Also, I'm showing here the establishment part, that there was also a report by IGI, which we're still going to deal with it in detail, where I was trying to acquire it properly and I didn't regurgitate the report of Abos Kakane, KPMG, Kroon and everyone, which we're still going to deal with those. But I'm just showing that in the investigation as the public protector, we use that as information or as leads. Then we acquire our own. In other words, it helps us to know where do we start or where the investigators are starting to investigate. So those are the traits of investigation.
Yes. Thank you. That's helpful.
Sir,
now we can
go to my... Yes. No, thank you, sir. Well, as you know, one question always leads to another. So I'm just going to piggyback on the Chairperson's question and maybe zoom it.
I thought you done.
No, I just want to ask one specific question, sir. So your question has helped me to do that, just so that you don't go back to the so-called establishment issue.
Okay.
I'd like you literally to just focus. We've heard everything you've said, Kakane and this and so on. But it would seem that the nucleus or the smoking gun in this whole thing is the memorandum to Mr. Manuel. Can you maybe in answering the Chairperson's question in a more focused way, just zoom into the importance of that, given its content, its author, its destination, the comments around it, and so on. What to you as the public protector, what role did that play in just this establishment issue? Specifically. Thank you
so much. I think that helps Chairperson also. just that I don't know why we didn't show it, and just to see that the preparer of the memorandum, and that is a reliable source document. Besides relying on Abu Skakane and everyone, this one comes directly from SARS.
Remember,
the institution which we were investigating.
While Ms. Mbiano was here, we did go through it.
Okay.
So.
And that was the reason. We remember we said as far as we can, so for the sake of progress, we'll use the source document as the report. But maybe tomorrow morning before we start, we can display it. But
okay.
Yeah, but for now, just because of the time, if you can answer the question. Is
very
it?
Critical.
Yes.
Yes, it's very critical because the accounting officer signed on this.
Mm-hmm.
The accounting officer acknowledged that already the unit is operating, and acknowledged that the unit is operating, and we would want to have an MOU with the NIA because what the unit is doing falls within the mandate of NIA or state security.
Uh-huh.
So this memorandum was acknowledging or agreeing that we know that this is not falling within our mandate, but we need state security agency to collaborate with us. So hence the comment by Deputy Minister Mulegeti,
uh-huh.
When he was noting the matter, actually is not approving, but just noting, but being concerned that you cannot, or this shows or reflects that it's a mandate of state security and you want to supplement, because the memorandum of understanding say they want to supplement. So it means the operations were there. But the key issue is this is the document which we relied on, which is, it belongs to SARS.
Yes. TP, we wanted to relieve you, but you've invited the next few minutes yourself. Can we then go to bundle A, page 7842, just so that we don't have to display it tomorrow.
Okay, what are you looking for?
Is that letter?
That letter.
Yes, just so that tomorrow we don't have to go there. Yeah.
I see your she there, make sure that we...
Oh.
I'm never going to forget it, you know. And now she is the
she, yes, absolutely doesn't want us to go home. Thank you.
Okay.
So 7842, bundle A. Yes, no, the bundle shot is quite right. This is a crucial piece of. Right. Okay, let's go through it slowly, well, not slowly, but carefully. You can see the letter, it's got all various stamps. Well, it's got various stamps, all dated 12th February 2007.
Correct.
And it's on the SARS letterhead.
Mm.
Right. And dear minister, and then it is, okay. Can you go through it?
Yes.
I think the critical paragraph is 2.1 and 2.2, but just give us the context.
So the proposal or the purpose was to request approval to fund a special capability within NIA. So they wanted to fund it within NIA, acknowledging that this is not their mandate.
Mm-hmm.
But then they fund it within NIA to supply SARS and the law enforcement with the necessary information to address the issues of illicit economy. So the discussion then is what they were saying, the collecting of technical intelligence and the interception of the organized syndicates, which the country should be doing. So this is also...
No. Please read the thing word for word.
Collecting
you're the one who said
you must... Okay. He is not the chair yet. So, I think you're mindful of your time, but I don't mind if you can do what he's... But he, he's not the chair.
Thank you. I've been put in my place.
Yes. Collecting tactical intelligence invariably means, I'm struggling to read.
It's quite faint. It's been copied all the time. So it's been part of the Rule 53 many times, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think that's why. So it deals with the...
But you can summarize it, Titi, I think, the way you were doing.
Intercepting organized criminal syndicates.
If I may ask this, if you go to page 42, that's where
It's
clearer. It's 42 of the report, where we were reading. At least... No, 42. No, I thought we were going to finish with that one and then come and read it from here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fine. I think everyone knows that it was to Minister...
Yes.
Okay.
So page 42, page 5.2.7.
Yes.
The memorandum requested approval to fund a special capability within NIA to supply SARS and law enforcement with the necessary information to address the illicit economy. The memorandum further stated the following. 2.1, collecting tactical intelligence invariably means penetrating and intercepting organized criminal syndicates. This is an activity for which SARS does not presently have capability, including the legislative mandate to manage clandestine activity. So I said it earlier that this encourages or this acknowledging that they don't have the mandate.
Right.
Discussions are taking place with the national intelligence to supplement SARS intelligence capability. NIA is willing to create a ring fence capability, provided funds are made available to cover personnel costs. All other costs will be covered by NIA. NIA is willing to formalize the above mentioned arrangement into an MOU. 2.3, we therefore request that NIA's budget be increased to fund the creating of this special capability.
Okay. Can I go back to the actual letter now? All right. Okay, you've read, I think, what are the important parts, Chair. Can you then go further up?
The estimated personnel cost.
Yeah, all right.
Yes.
So the estimated personnel cost?
2007-08 is 13 million. 2008-09 is 17 million. 2009-2010 was 18.8 million.
Right. Mm. And maybe let's just pause there to jump a little bit ahead on the equipment issue. Just on that budget, when we deal with the equipment issue tomorrow, one of the issues that you raise in the report is that if such a unit costing as much money as this, there's no way that it didn't have any equipment. And if it did, then you would have wanted to know how it was procured. I just wanted to flag that, just so that these amounts can be kept at the back of
the back of my mind, yes.
All right. Next one, 2.5? Right. Sorry. Yeah. Then let's just comment on those, what we see there.
So this document, again, Chairperson, I said these are the kind of documents which I will encourage officials to rely on instead of media articles or just some reports, but those reports are leads. So here it shows that this was prepared by the General Manager, Enforcement and Risk, We know that it was Mr. Pillay, and then the commissioner then was Mr. Godan, the commissioner of SARS as the accounting officer. Then the deputy minister, it was saying approved or not approved. So his comments were, as we've captured here, asking this is the responsibility of NIA, yeah. And I see that you'd want maybe to supplement that function or the existing unit's function within SARS. Mm. Then the Minister Manuel then just approved, yes, this submission. So communications in government, that's how it is. Because once it's signed by the minister, when you request that approval, it means it was approved.
Yes. Okay. So as far as approval is concerned, this was clearly directed to the minister, prepared by the relevant official, Mr. Pillay, signed by the accounting officer, Mr. Godan, countersigned by the deputy minister, and signed, and therefore it was, as you say, a proper legal document or memorandum. Okay, thank you, Chair. I think I hope that covers your question, Chair.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Just then, my issue again, just so that we don't spill it to tomorrow.
Sure.
Shall we call it homework? not just for tomorrow, but something that I just wanted to highlight, which postulates particularly into SARS regarding the role of the public protector, CX, when I say SARS. The role of the public protector, remember there's this debate about whether your mandate includes saying anything about the constitution and so on.
Yes.
Yes. If you go to Section 181 of the Constitution, that, as we know, is the governing provision, not just for the public protector, but for all Chapter 9 institutions.
811.
Yes. Okay. 1811. Yes. Now, this talks about state institutions supporting constitutional democracy. It says, yeah, the following state institutions strengthen constitutional democracy in the Republic. And the first one is the public protector. Mm-hmm. Now, so, again, addressing the chairperson, the committee, and the public, what do you understand about that concept, that the role of these Chapter 9 institutions, after all, is to strengthen a constitutional democracy? Does that mean that there are areas within the Constitution or the constitutional framework, including the Constitution itself, where you are not allowed to go?
Definitely. It's very clear for all the Chapter 9 institutions, we should be assisting, actually, the country to implement or to make sure that the Constitution is a living document and is applicable to all citizens. Therefore, this Chapter 9 and Section 181 is very clear that we are there to support constitutional democracy. And how we do that, there should be transparency, there should be cooperation, they should even assist us in the performance of our responsibilities. So I think that was interpreted in the Nkandla judgment, where we can access any information. You know, you go deep into raw state power, whatever information you require. Hence, in the number of engagements in this investigation, I was very clear that you cannot indicate that you can't give me the IGI report. Mm. Because this is necessary for the performance of my responsibilities. So it's like then stifling or not cooperating with us. I think SARS is the number of issues which we had challenges with.
Yes.
So Advocate Mbofu, so it is also fitting that the National Assembly develop rules for all of these institutions.
That's correct, Chairperson, not only for the public protector, all these institutions here.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, and for the sake of completion, let's then link that to 1813.
Correct.
Can you comment on that one?
So this one is at the core of what is expected from other organs of state.
Including the National Assembly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Through legislative and other measures must assist and protect these institutions to ensure that the independence, impartiality, dignity, and effectiveness of these institutions is guaranteed. So I think we will deal with that, possibly we'll deal with that when we also deal with the evidence of Public Protector Sakoni, because it was like, okay, as the National Assembly, you've established this committee. And I think in my statement also, we indicated that what are the expectations from me and how did they assist me in ensuring that they assist me in getting any information in the ensuring that I'm independent, I'm impartial, the dignity of this institution and effectiveness of this institution, especially the dignity. I think I've mentioned several times, or there was an instance where I mentioned that there was a stage where I also mentioned the portfolio committee that, you know, I feel like being attacked in all angles. And the very same mother as well, being the speaker, also joining in, or the parent joining in to victimize or to deal with me, instead of the National Assembly protecting me as the incumbent in this institution. So this is very critical, especially Section 1813 for any other Chapter 9 institution when we are performing our work under this. And as well, it was even worse when I had to be clobbered with personal costs in my private capacity, and a lot of those. What does it say to this, and how do you assist and ensure that I maintain my independence, impartiality, dignity, and effectiveness, which is very critical, because the minute you disarm or you cause this institution to operate with fear, or all these institutions to operate with fear, then it means the citizens are on their own. They are not protected.
Thank you, Chairperson. In my language, they say, drop the mic. I think that's where we should stop it for today. Thanks.
Thank you. I missed that. Maybe it's better if I missed
it. You don't understand, Chase. Yeah. For the youngsters like
okay.
us. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The time now is just about 18 minutes plus 5. We are going to adjourn for the day. Pause there and start tomorrow again at 10 to proceed to the remaining four areas under that. And I'm asking that members, Roxanne, don't repeat today's late start. We'll start at 10 tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The meeting is adjourned.